Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, August 2nd, 2026, is by Bruce Squires on the topic of pluralism.
How many of you have seen the big summer hit, The Odyssey? Okay, a few of you. And I did too. And some of you... I'll refresh you a little bit, but not too much. That's not our theme today. There's a character in the Odyssey, and I'm not big on Greek mythology, but I looked it up. Hermes is the messenger god. And you will, if you do see the movie, or if you have seen the movie, you will see Hermes come on into the scenes, every once in a while and do this kind of thing with a big pole. He does it much better than I, but I'm going to use it as a bit of a prop as we talk about pluralism. Okay, so let me start by saying this. I am older than I was yesterday, but younger than I'll be tomorrow. As senior citizens, and many of us are in here are that, we have a chasing the clock all the time, it seems. And because of that, we often get confused. I got slightly confused when I encountered this word pluralism, and I made a mistake what I'm going to say somewhere in my presentation. I mistook pluralism for plurality. I don't know why. I guess because to me they sound something alike. They spell, well, sort of alike. And their definitions, while not similar, can be related. But plurality is about numbers and scales, proportions. Pluralism is more about diversity and people. So with that aside, let's get into, oh, and I wanted to say too, I like to think of it. It might help you if you have the same problem I do. Plurality is quantitative, and pluralism is qualitative. So let's talk a little bit about pluralism. Okay, now I'm going to read a few official things here, right? What I hope I can do, I'm not sure how the clock is going here, but I want to hear a lot of your comments. I want this to be your program more than mine, but I hope I can get it started. Okay.
Plenty of time.
Okay, good. Pluralism supports our shared values. That's why we're here this summer talking about these values. Generosity, transformation, which Wendy discussed so beautifully last week. Equity, interdependence, and justice, each in its own way, centering around love. Here's what the UA says of pluralism. When it comes to the most important questions, the people in our congregations and communities generally do not believe one single thing, but many. We find that this pluralism, the presence of many beliefs about God and about ourselves, brings richness to our lives together instead of discord. When we let go of the idea that any one belief system is 100% right, we can allow authenticity and commitment to flourish and the spaces between us. This is not a newfound value. A previous living tradition of the Unitarian Universalist Association declared to be, and I quote here, grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith. We are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. As free congregations, we enter into this covenant, promising to one another our mutual trust and support. Let me share with you a statement on that indicated theology. And I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. Prepared by Dr. Sherry Prude Hamm, associated with the Star King for the ministry, which my minister wife Kathy says is a major West Coast seminary for future Unitarian Universalist ministers. It's a little bit heavy, but it's significant, so I wanted to read it to you. Again, this is Dr. Sherry Prudholm talking, and she had already discussed some of the shared values, so you may hear a were or was or something like that. From the three theological moves our forebears made that I discussed above, understanding there to be a divine spark in all beings, understanding God's love to embrace all, and refusing to separate humankind after death into different groups, and turning to the world, human experience, and other religions of the world as sources of our evolving theological perspective, our theology eventually grew to embrace a pluralism that those same forebears might not have thought imaginable. That's one sentence. The rest is easier. We declare that there are many paths to the sacred. We hold fast to the notion that one religion does not hold all the truth for all time, not even we Unitarian Universalists. We maintain that a free, open, and respectful dialogue is one of the primary ways our theological perspectives evolve and grow. Liberal theology's intellectual historian, Reverend Dr. Gary Dorian, explains in the third volume of his collection on American liberal theology that the striking achievement of liberal theology in the latter part of the 20th century was its expansion in diversity and unfolding of pluralism. The incorporation of theological perspectives arising from previously marginalized and silenced voices was central to the development of progressive theology. In some mainline Protestant churches, this resulted in academic theology being dramatically out of step with congregational life and practice. While this was true for a time in Unitarian Universalist congregations, the tide turned more quickly. We find evidence in the statement of purposes and principles adopted by the General Assembly in the 1980s and the ongoing development into the 21st century of worship and educational efforts aimed at all ages of the lifespan that celebrate pluralism, multiculturalism, and work to counter anything that inhibits either the free and responsible search for truth and meaning or the embrace of our differences and commonalities with love, curiosity, and respect. So, I'm a fairly simple man. I say the Beatles sang it all when they sang, "All You Need Is Love." That reinforced by these aforementioned, all over here, six values can guide us through our days. Okay, now I want to hear from you, but I'm going to try to prime it up a little bit with a couple of stories that how I think pluralism comes into our lives, and then I want you to tell me how it affects you. I'm just going to give you two little stories, and these are off the cuff, and don't need this anymore. And I do need this. So. I once lived and worked in New York's Mohawk Valley, and the city of Amsterdam, which is on kind of the eastern end of the valley, is a relatively major community, and it has many immigrant Puerto Ricans. It has a huge Puerto Rican neighborhood because they worked in the mills that once were prosperous in Amsterdam. And I befriended a guy there from Puerto Rico. His name was Alex Torres, and he had a couple of jobs, but his big thing was he headed a Latin band that appeared throughout the Capital District. Very lively stuff, if you know, salsa music and all that stuff. But I have nothing like that, but he and I were friends. And somehow I was in his office one day, and I don't even remember how we did it, but we got on the subject of people and neighborhoods and whatever. And I brought in the word how Americans are a melting pot. Well, that was a mistake. Alex said, "No, think another way. Think of a tossed salad. The tomato is nothing like the radish, and the radish is nothing like the cucumber. And the leaf lettuce dominates the whole bowl. That's diversity, not melting pot at all. That would be soup or something." So I always thought of that story, because I think that's what we're kind of talking about today. I think I like diversity a little better than pluralism, actually, but that's just me. So. My second story is similar. Kathy, my wife Kathy, for those of you who don't know her, and I recently went to Montreal and spent a few days there because we hadn't been there for many years and we wanted to see it again. We took a walking tour, and I would recommend one if you ever go to Montreal because you learn a lot. We were shown, you know, many wonderful places. I won't get into that today, but many wonderful sights and things to do in Montreal. Our tour guide, though, made a couple impressions on my brain. She said, "Montreal is a very French city, if you haven't been there. I mean, even the road signs are in French, and I have a problem with that." Kathy was much better because she's a better French student than I. And we were told by the tour guide that although French dominates in Montreal, there are something like 144 languages spoken in that city of 4.5 million, and they deal with it just fine. So, pluralism. Later in our tour, the same period, later in the night, we went to, if you ever know anything about Montreal, there's a place called the Biosphere. It was part of a big exhibit in 1967. And we had parked in a parking garage, because like a lot of cities, parking's atrocious in Montreal. So we went to a parking garage, did a lot of walking. And we got caught in a rainstorm. So we didn't want to go back to the parking garage wet, so we called a taxi. A very nice taxi driver accommodated us, but he was obviously not from Montreal. He was from Mali, which is an impoverished nation in Africa. He spoke rather broken English, but we were able to talk. He said he had moved to New York City with his family, found it too dangerous, and for the past 9 years lived in Montreal, and he loves it there. That's pluralism at work again. So those are my two little stories, and I think we have some time. Yeah, we do. I want to hear yours. What do you think of when you think of diversity, pluralism, whatever? I turn the program over to you.